Are all about, we're learning Masechet Chulin, Perek Kalabasar, all about the issues of milk and meat. So now we get introduced to a very big topic that is called the topic of no sein ta'am bar no sein ta'am. If the taste is really far, until now we've seen that there's something called tam ki ikar. If you had meat that fell into a pot of milk, you're making a big, cream sauce, and into your cream sauce fell, you dropped or something fell by mistake, a piece of meat, so you pull the meat out, so you would have thought, okay, now it's all permitted, all I see is cream. So we had a chiddush, we had a new idea earlier. Tam ki ikar. The taste that goes out of the meat, if that taste is still accessible, somebody trying to drink this cheese sauce is going to feel that taste of meat. So that's as if the meat itself was there. The taste matters. Ta'am ki ikar. The taste is like the essence. So how far does that go? Now we're going to learn a new idea. Maybe at a certain point, the taste doesn't matter anymore. It's so far from the source, it doesn't matter anymore. And we'll see that if taste of meat goes into a pot, so now you have a meat pot, and then in this meat pot, you put, a fish. So now the fish got some of the taste of the meat, but the fish was never cooked with meat. The fish only got taste that came out of the pot. And now you put the fish with cheese sauce, that could be okay, because that meat taste is so diluted, it's so far, that that's already not considered milk and meat. It was a novelty to say the taste is something. But now when it's far, it's gone through a lot of different stages till it got here, maybe that already is not a problem to mix that with milk. So that's what we're going to see.
When you say it doesn't matter, does that mean it's not contaminated enough? Is that what it means, Rabbi?
Yeah, it's not milk and meat. It's permissible. You're allowed to eat it. It's permitted.
Okay.
So Itmar, we learned Dagim, if somebody takes a red hot roasting piece of fish off of the grill, Shalu Bikara, and he puts it onto a meat bowl. Now this meat bowl 5 hours ago had meatballs, and then the meatballs were taken out of the bowl. The bowl is now clean. There's no gravy in it. But in the walls of the bowl, there's meat taste. Now you put a red hot piece of fish onto this bowl. So Rav Amar, Rav said, if you then take the fish out, Asr lochlam bekutach, you can't eat the fish with the cheese sauce. Because, according to Rav, once the fish was in a meat bowl, so the fish get meat taste. So now if you put this fish, which has now meat taste, with cheese sauce, it's milk and meat. So you can't do it. According to Rav, you can't do it. But Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Mutter l'achlan bekutach. You are allowed to eat the fish that were hot and put into a meat bowl with cheese sauce.
If it was cold, it would be okay.
Yes. Rav Amar Aser. Rav says you're not allowed to eat it with cheese sauce. No Saint Tamu. By having a very hot piece of fish in a meaty bowl, the taste of meat has gone into the fish. So now if I eat this fish with cheese sauce, I'm eating meat taste with cheese sauce. And Rav goes very far with the idea that taste is like essence. It's like eating the essence of meat with cheese sauce. It's milk and meat. But Shmuel Amar Mutter, Shmuel said, I'm allowed to take this fish and eat it with the cheese sauce because the meat taste is now too diluted to make a problem. No same time. This is something giving a taste, bar no sein tamhu, which is the child of something which itself got a taste from something else, and therefore it's okay. In other words, it's too removed, exactly. The bowl, that's not meat. There was meatballs 5 hours ago. Meatballs are meat. Then you have a novelty that the taste of meatballs also could be considered meat. But the taste got stuck in a pot. So, okay, now this pot is not meat. This pot gave a taste in itself derived into fish. And now you want to mix the fish with milk. So by the time the milk gets to this taste's already, it's on its, I don't know, multiple home. It went, it was in the meat, got to get into a gravy, and from the gravy it went into the walls of the pot, walls of the bowl, and it was in the walls of the bowl for a while. Then it had to have some fish heat that was able to take it out of the walls of the pot and put it into fish. Still no touching with any milk. And now it's a cheese sauce. Now you want to have, now the cheese sauce is going to make a problem with this taste. This taste is too far. And therefore, it's not basar b'chalav. It's not meat and milk. It's already okay.
But with this logic, wouldn't you say we don't need two different type of cooking utensils?
Explain to me the calculations. I mean,
why do we need pots for cooking the meat and cut pots for cooking the milk?
Because that's not too far.
They're just placing it in there.
Because if I use a meat utensil for milk, that's already too close. Right here we said I used the meat utensil for parv, and after I used the meat utensil for parv, now I want to put this parv into a cheese sauce. But I can't use the cheese in the meat utensil.
Is that halakha, by this opinion? So what's the difference between that and the pot? So this could ruin the pot, you know, the philosophy of the pot, which is meat pot.
No, it is.
And
that was what Kim
milk,
just... No, Kim just brought that up. If you have a meat pot and you put milk directly into it, that is a problem. We're saying you put fish into the meat pot. Now you took the fish out and you want to put the fish into cheese.
It's one more removed.
Is the problem there, right? No, Rabbi? Or is there no problem?
There is a problem if the milk is in the meat pot. But here we don't have the milk in the meat pot.
If the fish becomes, meaty or whatever, but the actual, it ruins the whole policy of everything.
No, we're saying the policy is because we don't want milk in a meat pot. But if you had parv in a meat pot, and now you put the parv that was cooked in a meat pot into cheese, that's already too far to be a problem.
But a practical question, if my wife has a big pot of chicken soup, and I go to take a ladle, but I take it from the wrong drawer, the dairy ladle,
right?
And I put it in the chicken soup, what happens?
You ruined your spoon.
I ruined the spoon, but not the soup.
Correct.
But the spoon was ruined?
Yeah.
As well. Rabbi, our stomachs are not really a kosher la Pesach stomachs, are they? You know.
Rabbi, the whole thing is it b'di'avad or l'kitchila also? Because
that's also true.
Alu,
that's right. And it's only b'di'avad, that's right.
For the Sephardim, the way we do it is even l'kitchila, we're allowed to cook fish in a meat bowl. Scrambled eggs in a flashy frying pan, and then eat the scrambled eggs with cheese afterwards. Right.
Interesting.
Ashkenazim is more complicated.
Right.
It's not that simple that you can do it with the tchila. And even if you did it, did you mix it with the cheese? And then with the avot, can you eat it?
Nice.
Very methylene.
More lenient, very nice.
Yeah. They take both sets of dishes in the dishwasher, same dishwasher, right?
I don't know. Gabriel tells us that they don't.
No. Not at the same time, but...
Sephardim uses one dishwasher.
That's something else. Nothing to do with this.
Because of no same time with God.
If you go in some wedding halls in Israel or even in the army in some camps, they use one dishwasher because they believe it sterilizes everything to put in a very high temp. But that's irrelevant to this. Here I'm talking about even scrambled eggs in a milchit frying pan that was used in the morning for cheese. Right. And you take the scrambled eggs and you eat them with meat.
Right, later you eat it with meat.
Can you do it like a chila? Can you plan to
make
do this?
To do that.
Only if you did it.
So nice. That's nice. Says the Gemara, Vahada Rav. Now this idea of Rav, that Rav thinks that even though the taste is on its second home, it's still a problem. Lav b'feirish itmar, Rav didn't say it explicitly. Ela michlala itmar, rather we derived it from a story. As we know, whenever we derive a law from a story, you know, maybe we're not deriving it the right way, as the Gemara is going to explain. What was the story? Derav ikla lebei Rav Simi Barchia Barbre. Rav came to the home of Rav Simi Barchia, who was his grandson. Chash be'inav. And Rav had something started bothering his eye. Sa'avdule shaifa. So they made for him a cream. Bitsa. In some type of a bowl. They made for him a cream in a bowl. Basar hachi. Afterwards, Ramule bishulu begava. They put some cooked food into this bowl. Tell him late time of the shayf. Rav said, you know, this food tastes with the food of the cream. I can taste the cream in it. Amar, so he said to them, Yoiv time akuli hai? Is it, you know, this cream gives so much taste. So what did the person hearing think? It's amazing, right? The cream had gone into the bowl had been cleaned out of the cream. And Rav said his food had the taste of cream. So you see that the taste goes from the cream into the bowl, and then from the bowl into the food, and it's still very strong. So the same thing would be with meat. Meat would go into the bowl, and then into the fish. It's still going to be very strong. But velohi, but that's not really a good source. Shani asam de nafesh merara tvei. There you're talking about cream. You're not talking about meat. You're talking about a potion. It was some type of medicinal cream. So it had a lot of spices. It was very strong. So maybe something extremely spiced. And that Rav would say, no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom, is still a Tom. A taste from a taste is still a taste. But maybe generally not. Okay. So that's the conclusion of that argument. Again, according to Rav, no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom is a taste. And according to Shmuel, no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom is not a taste anymore. I read a story now. Rebbe Lazar Avakayim Kamei Demar Shmuel. Rebbe Lazar was standing once in front of Shmuel. Aisu L'Kamei Dagim Shalu Bekara. So they brought fish that had been in a meat bowl. V'kachal Bekuta. So Shmuel put it into the cheese and he ate it with the cheese. Yayev Le. So then Shmuel offered it to his attendant Rebbe Lazar. V'lo achal. Rabbi Lazar wouldn't eat it. Because Rabbi Lazar was a student of Rav. So he held no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom, still is a Tom. Amar Lei, so Shmuel said, L'rabach Yoav Lei V'achel. I gave these types of things to your teacher and he ate. V'at lo achalta, you're not going to eat it. In other words, Rav himself would eat the fish that was in a meat bowl in with cheese.
Rabbi, so, is it relevant if it's hot or cold?
It had been hot in the bowl.
So hot is worse.
Yeah. So Rav. So Rabbi Lazar went to Rav. He said, you know, Shmuel is saying that you do eat fish that had been in a meat bowl with cheese. Amar Lei. So Rabbi Lazar responded to Rav. Hadar be, Rabbi Lazar asked Rav. Hadar be mar mishmate. Did Rav reject his original ruling? Is Rav now with Shmuel? Amar Lei. So Rav said, Chas Lei. Zara da Abba dar Abba. Heaven forbid for the children of Abba bar Abba, for Shmuel, to listfully midi velosfirli, who would feed me something that I would not be allowed to eat. And it's not, and it also, heaven forbid that I would change my mind, apparently. You know, the story never happened. Story never happened. He said that he fed me such things, but it didn't happen.
Rabbi, what's the halacha regarding this?
I think it's permitted. And I think for Sephardim, even more permitted than for Ashkenazim.
Hot fish and cold makes no difference.
Doesn't make a difference.
But we don't do this.
No, if something like this were to happen, we would still permit it. It's cold, no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom.
But we don't. Typically, we don't do that, right? I mean, if I cook a piece of fish in a meat bowl. And I don't mix it with a piece of...
No, we don't. We Ashkenazim, we don't do it in the first instance. We don't choose to do it. But if it were to happen, we would permit the food. By accident, we would permit the food.
So we would not... So we would try not to do it.
Correct.
Right.
We don't even put it on the same dish, though, right?
Right. No, we don't. Right.
No. This is fish and cheese, not fish and meat.
Right. What, but the, even.
Oh, I mean, we're talking about a meat plate, but it's a clean plate. It has tastes in it.
No, but I'm talking about.
We don't eat together meat and fish. That's right.
Meat and fish. No, but I'm saying fish and the milk.
That's because of danger. What's that?
Fish and milk. If I cook the fish, the salmon on a fleshy pot, and I have a milk sauce.
If they mix, it's okay.
But we don't. We don't.
We don't choose to mix them. But if they were to get mixed, we would eat it. So now, Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Havu Yasvi, they were sitting. Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Chad Bahai Gisa Demabra Desura. One was on one side of the bridge that crosses to Sura. Vachad Bahai Gisa Demabra. One was on the other side of the bridge. Lamar Aisile Dagim Shalu Bekaara Vacha Bekutach. One to one, they brought fish that they had put on a, they put these boiling fish onto a meat bowl. And they brought it to him, and he ate it with cheese sauce. Lamar, the other one, isolates Hainim v'anavim, v'silchasuda. The other one, they brought, you know, grapes and figs in the middle of his meal. V'achlan, he ate the grapes and figs, even though these are fruits. V'lo barach, and he didn't make a separate blessing of bar piyah eitz for eating them. So Mar Mali l'chavre, so one said to his friend, Yasma, orphan. In other words, you know, you're doing something which is unintelligible, doesn't make sense. Avad Rabba Chachi, would your teacher do such a thing? Would your teacher do these things to eat fish that had been in a meat bowl with cheese? Would your teacher do these things to eat fruits in the middle of a meal and not make a blessing? Omar Malela Charis, the other one said to his friend, Yasma Avad Rabba Chachi, would your teacher do the other way? Do like what you did? So Omar Malela Charis once said back to his friend, Anaka Shmuel Sirle, I am of the opinion like Shmuel, who says that fish that was on a meat plate can now be eaten with dairy food, with dairy, because the meat plate itself only got a taste. So now the taste in the fish is a taste, the derivative of a taste, and therefore it can be with dairy. The other one said to his friend, I didn't make a blessing on the grapes and the figs that I ate in the middle of the meal, because I hold like Reb Chiya, the Tanya Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya taught about the laws of blessings, pas poteres, kol mine maichal, that if you have bread, the bread exempts all the different types of foods from blessings. V'yayin, and wine, poter kol mine mashkin, and having wine exempts all types of liquids from a blessing if you are drinking them after you drink the wine. All right, let's now get to the halacha. Amar Chizki Mishum Abaye. Chizkia said in the name of Abaye, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Dagim shalu b'ka'ara, if you have hot fish, and you put the hot fish from the grill onto a meat bowl, a bowl that was used for meat within the last 24 hours, now, mutter l'ochla b'kutach, you can take the fish out of the bowl, and not in the bowl, but take the fish out of the bowl, and now put them into cheese sauce, and eat it together with cheese sauce. Because no Saint Tom bar no Saint Tom is permitted, unlike the view of Rav, but like the view of Shmuel. However, that's one halacha. Now another halacha. It's known. If you have a radish, now a radish is called davar charif. It has a sharp, pungent taste. Therefore, it can pull tastes out. So it's known if you have a radish, shachatcho basak and shachatach bo basar, if you cut a radish with a meat knife, a knife that had been used to cut meat, you can't eat the radish with cheese sauce because the knife might have some meat on it and the radish is going to pull the taste from this meat fat that's on the knife, and that's already, because it's sharp, that's already considered tam rishon, not tam sheni, and because it's sharp, it pulls the taste out very strongly, much more than meat. That much more than hot fish will pull out the taste of meat in a bowl. And also when you use a knife, there's pressure, called duchkat sakina, the pressure of the knife, which also, as you press the knife down into the radish, that causes the tastes from the knife to go into the radish, and therefore you can't have a radish with cheese sauce if the radish was cut with a meaty knife. Now these laws are only true, this can even be with cold, yeah. This is only true with a cold, this is only true about a radish. Now starting today's daf, the agav churfei bala, because the radish is so sharp, it absorbs the taste of the meat. Avokishos, but if you're not using radishes, but you're using some sweet vegetables, zucchini. They say cucumbers. All right, so that's not a problem. If you cut cucumbers with a meaty knife, all you do is garir lebe paske, you know, scratch off the spot of the cut, because there may be some fat from the meat. So just scratch that off from the cucumber, and va'achil, then you can eat the cucumber with the cheese sauce. Now, another case. What happens if, instead of cutting radish or cutting cucumbers, he cut kilchi de lifta. He cut the stalks of the vegetable lefes. How do they translate lefes?
Turnip.
Okay, so turnip. So then shari, you're allowed to eat it with the cheese sauce, because, again, the turnip is sweet, and since it's sweet, it's not going to pull out the taste of meat from the knife. But if you use the meaty knife to cut silka stalks of beets, then asiri, they are prohibited, because the fat of the meat that's on the knife is going to give a taste to the beets. Onions are like radishes, that's right. And if he, when cutting the beets, he was also cutting the turnips, right? So he cuts beet, then he cuts turnip, then he cuts beet, he cuts turnip, back and forth. Shop your dummy. Again, that's already okay, because through the turnip, it's going to take away the taste. The sweetness of the turnip will take away the taste of meat that's on the knife. And so then when you use that knife to cut the radish and cut the beets, it's already okay. It's an okay knife.
How about the other way around? How about the milky knife and radish?
Then you couldn't use it with meat.
Couldn't eat it with meat, because it grabs the cheese.
The fatty taste of the cheese, yeah.
So, Rabbi, if I take a meat knife, I cut the radish, and I put the radish on a milchic plate, does it ruin the milchic plate?
No.
It does not, because it's one removed. Is that why?
Because it's a plate, and it's cold. But if you took a meat knife to cut beets. Radishes,
but that's radish.
And then you can't put that into cheese sauce.
Right, but if I put it on the plate, it doesn't ruin the plate.
That's
so
right.
The same thing with the salmon. If I cook the salmon in a meat pot and it's cold, what if it's cold?
Yeah, if everything's cold, there's never a problem. Cold is never a problem.
But if I put it hot onto the milky plate, then I ruin the plate. If I cook the salmon in a fleshic pot, hot, and now I put it on a milky plate.
Do you ruin the plate? I'm not so sure. It could be too far to ruin the plate.
It's too removed.
I don't think it would ruin the plate. Now another question. Bominei Rav Dimi Mer Rav Nachman. Rav Dimi asked a question from Rav Nachman. Maula nuche kada de milcha gabe kada de kamka. Can I put a barrel of salt right next to a barrel of this cheese sauce? Are we worried that the cheese sauce will fall into the salt? And then you're going to use this salt in a pot of meat. Amalei, Rav Nachman said, Aser, that's exactly our worries. So you can't put the cheese sauce next to the salt, because we're worried that the cheese sauce will spill into the salt. And then you use that salt with your meat. So then he asked, what about the chalamai? What about using a barrel of cheese sauce and having it right next to a barrel of vinegar? So Amalei, sorry, that's already allowed. He said, Umayshna, what's the difference? Why are you worried that cheese sauce will fall into salt and then the salt will go into meat? And you're not worried that cheese sauce will fall into vinegar? So he answered, L'chitech l'alei kurta de milcha. If you measure out for me a quart of salt, then I'll give you the answer. So then he explained, my time, what's the reason? The reason for the difference is like this. Hi, isi yisura be'ene. This, if cheese sauce falls into the salt, so then you can see the cheese in the salt. It's not going to lose its identity. Hi, but if cheese sauce falls into vinegar, leisi yisura be'ene, you don't see any cheese sauce anymore. It dissipates in the vinegar. And therefore, it becomes batel. You don't even feel the taste in vinegar because vinegar is so strong. Therefore, it's batel. So even if you put some of that vinegar into meat, it's not a problem because it's not putting cheese into meat. It's putting fine stuff, putting vinegar into meat. It's all okay. Okay, now a story. Ahu bar gozla. There's the story with this little chick. Denafa lekada dekamka. So some of the meat of this chick, this little bird, fell into a barrel of cheese sauce. So the meat was cold. Now the question is, do we say that this meat has absorbed some of the cheese sauce because the cheese sauce is very salty? We saw earlier that salting is like roasting, or not. So again, some chicken had fallen into some cheese sauce. Everything was cold. But the cheese sauce is very salty. So Shai Rav Chinuna bre de Rava mi Pashronia. Rav Chinuna, the son of Rava from Pashronia, permitted it. Amar Rava, so Rava said, Man chakam mishuk ya gavna, who is wise enough to permit in such a case? Ilav Rav Chanina bre de Rava mi Pashronia. If not for Rav Chanina, the son of Rava from Pashronia, Because he holds Ki Amar Shmuel. When did Shmuel say Maliach Ariyah Kiroseyach? That salting is like roasting. Hani Mili Heichadenu Nechal Machas Milcha. That's in a case when it's so salted that it's unedible. The salt makes it so salty, so much saltier that you couldn't eat it. Avalai Kutra. But when you deal with cheese sauce, it is salted, but it's not so salted. You can eat it even though it has salt in it. So if it's not salted to such a degree, it's not considered roasting. Therefore, the cold cheese doesn't get any taste from it. All you need to do is wash it off. It's not as if it was cooked together. When is this true that this meat is going to be permitted? When it's high, when it's raw. But if it would be roasted and falling in, then you need to peel off the outer side. And if it was roasted and it had all sorts of cracks in it, then the whole piece of chicken would become prohibited because through the cracks, the cheese sauce is going to spread throughout it. Or, if the meat was heavily spiced, so through the spices, it became soft, and therefore, when it falls into the cheese sauce spreads throughout the whole thing, and kulei aser, it would be entirely prohibited. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the juices that come out of meat after roasting. Kikar shechatech alei abasar. Let's say you take meat off of the grill, and you cut it onto bread. Asal ochla, you're not allowed to eat that bread, because that bread gets meat, gets a blood into it from the meat. When is that true that you can't eat the bread? This is only true when the meat is still red. This is also only true when the blood that came out of the meat is so there's so much of it that it goes from one edge to the other of the bread. This is also only true to asmache, when this liquid that comes out of the meat that was taken off the grill is very thick. Aval klishta, but if the liquid is clear, less lanba, we don't have any problem, because that's not already considered blood.
I thought the juice from a piece of meat is okay, permitted blood.
I think it depends what it is we're seeing here, right? If it's a clear one, if it's...
It's always red. When you take it off the grill, put on the cutting board, it's always red.
It's not thick, though.
It's not salted. It's not,
this wasn't salted. Yeah, our meat is salted already.
The Jews shouldn't eat medium rare steaks?
No, our meat is salted already, so it's okay.
It says unsalted.
I'm talking about unsalted meat. Our meat is salted. So now they have all sorts of stories about this bread. Shmuel, when Shmuel would get bread that they had cut on it meat after the roasting, Shadili Lekalbi would throw it to his dogs. Ravuna Yasavei Leshame. Ravuna wouldn't eat it himself, and he would give it to his attendant. So I said, I understand. Manavsha. Ishari, if it's permissible, Lekuli Alma Shari, it's permissible for everybody, he should have eaten it himself. V'yaser, if it's not permissible, definitely he won't eat it himself. L'kuli al-maser, shouldn't be, don't give it to the attendant. So when I said like this, Shani Rav Huna, Rav Huna was different. Danina data. It wasn't because it wasn't kosher, it was because he was very finicky. So he wouldn't eat it because it looked bloody. All right, Rava Achile. Rava used to eat the bread that had cut meat on it, that with the blood going into it. The Karle Chamar Basr, and used to call it wine of the meat. In other words, it's not blood, it's the wine of the meat. It's not the blood of the meat, it's the wine of the meat. Okay, so that's in terms of meat that wasn't salted, that was roasted, and then cut onto bread. Okay, we're talking about different liquids that come out of the meat. So I'm Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, you have a piece of meat that wasn't salted. When you're roasting that piece of meat, you can't put a utensil underneath it to collect all the fat that's flowing out of it. Until all the red got out of it. So once all the blood is out, then you can gather the fat. But otherwise, you're going to be having fat with blood. So Mara says, Minayadina, at what point do we know that all the blood is out? Marzuch Mishvedra Papa Amar Mishatala Tim Rasso. Once it's the pillar of smoke is rising from it, once the meat is smoking, at that point you know all the blood is out. Baskal for Ravashi, Ravashi challenge of Papa, Vidilma, maybe Tata Mata, maybe the bottom side right next to the coals is gotten to this point of all the redness out, and that's why the smoke is rising. But ila lo mata, but the top part still has blood coming out from it. There's no way that you can put a utensil underneath the meat that you're roasting, which was unsalted meat, because when you're gathering things, you're going to be gathering blood too. Ela mishda beitar tiglali milcha, unless you throw into it two pieces of salt, one on the meat to pull the blood out of the meat, and the second in the utensil that's underneath the meat, because the putting the salt in the utensil under the meat is going to pull the blood in the utensil to the salt and leave the fat that you're trying to collect clear in this utensil. And after you put in the two things of salt, umishpaye, and after you finish the roasting and you've gathered all the fat into the utensil, you have to pour that liquid out into another utensil and thereby separate the fat from the blood in that utensil, which has been sort of attracted to the salt that you threw in. Amli Rav Acha, Bredi Rav Ika, Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, said to Rav Ashi, Umir Amar Shmuel Hachi, and did Shmuel say this, that we're not worried Did Shmuel say this, that we have these fears, Vamar Shmuel, but didn't Shmuel himself say, Kikar shechatech alei basar, if you have meat that was fully roasted, and then you cut this meat on a piece of bread, asur lo'ochlo, you're not allowed to eat the bread, because we're worried that there's meat, that there's blood coming out, so who cares that it's that all the redness is out? You see, you're still worried about blood, so how do you ever say that at a certain point, you think that all the blood is out and you can gather the fat? So Gemara says, you're right. Shani Hasam, over there was different. Agav Dukka de Sakina Palit. Because of the sharpness of the knife and the pressure of the knife, meat is going to release blood that's still in it. But in terms of, you know, what's going to come out of it, if you see that all the redness is out of the meat and it's fully cooked through, we're not worried that just cooking is going to take blood out of it. Then you can put, according to Shmuel, a utensil underneath it to gather the fat. When did Shmuel say we are worried about what comes out of the meat that was roasted, liquids? That's true when you're using a knife, because the knife cutting is going to, the pressure of the knife is going to push liquids out. Okay, so we're talking again about salt, we're talking about meat, we talked about liquids that come out of meat. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Dagim v'ofos, let's say you have fish and birds. Shemolchan zeim ze, and you salt them together. asurim. So now you can't eat the fish, because if you salt together fish with chicken, the blood of the chicken that's being pulled out by the salt is going to end up in the fish. When you eat fish, you're going to be eating chicken blood. Hey, Chidam, what's the case? If the utensil doesn't have a hole in the bottom, so then why do you say that the issue is that you had chicken with fish? Even if you had chicken with chicken, the taste is going to go down, and because the blood's going to gather, and there's going to be tastes from one chicken to the next chicken. And if we're talking about a utensil that has a hole in it, afilu dagim v'ofos nami shari. So who cares that you had chicken with fish? The blood's going to go out of the chicken. It goes into the fish, but then it'll go out of the fish. It'll end up draining because it has a hole there. So olam b'kli menukav. Yeah, we're talking about a utensil that has a hole in it. And even so, if there's fish with the chicken in the utensil that has holes with the salt, there's a problem for the fish. Dagim ishim derafu karmayu. Fish have a very soft membrane. So since they have a soft membrane, kadmi upalti, they release all of their blood first. Ofos kniti, chicken though, they're hard. Their blood doesn't come out so quickly. So therefore, basar denaychi dagim, once the fish have finished releasing all of their blood, pliti ofos, that's when the chicken is going to release its blood. V'hadar balimine. So when chicken is busy releasing blood, it doesn't have the, ability to also absorb blood. But the fish is not going to be releasing blood. So the fish is going to absorb the blood, and it's going to get stuck in the fish, and that's where the fish become prohibited. The salting was to remove the blood. Yeah, he decided to do it. He wants herring, he wants salty fish, he wants...
But the blood of fish is different than the blood of chicken or whatever,
right? Correct. Blood of fish is permitted. But here, where this fish was in the same bin with chicken, and the salt was taking the blood out of the chicken, since the fish is going to be finished with its blood before the chicken is finished with its blood, it's going to absorb chicken blood.
Right.
And therefore, it's going to be prohibited. Okay, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha omer ratzah kadosh baruch hu lezakos Yisrael lefichach hirba lehem Torah mitzvah shenemar v'necha feitz l'man tziko adil tarav yadir.